You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host Kevin Pelton,
and I'm Tristan Carzino,
and we are coming to you from different states because of the fact that we needed to do an emergency podcast. The sirens have been activated.
By nobody.
Yeah, no one has actually called for this podcast. By us. But really, the sirens were activated by UW softball with their dominant performance so far in the Women's College World Series, reaching the final series where they will face Florida State for the national championship.
And this is the series that I actually like to call the Softball World Series, because they are down to the final two, just like the World Series, three games to determine who is the champion in women's college softball.
You tweeted over the weekend that you were trying to understand the Baseball College World Series, how that worked.
I chatted this to you first. I didn't tweet this.
Okay.
I would never admit to not understanding the bracket of the College Baseball World Series.
Did what you learned in that research help you understand the Softball World Series?
Not at all, no.
Okay, good.
You're assuming that I've learned something in that research.
All right, maybe we'll explain at the end of the pod.
Most complicated. I mean, I'm used to the NCAA tournament, to the NCAA men's basketball tournament, where when you win a game, you proceed to play another team.
It is more compelling, and it was especially unusual in this case. So one of the typical features of the Women's College World Series, the eight-team setup, is the teams that lose the opening game, usually they're eliminated pretty quickly. Very rarely do they even make it back to the semifinals. But if they do make it back to the semifinals, as happened in both cases, you end up playing the same team you beat in the first game. So the Huskies, you know, we thought that they had licked the fact that they had to play Oklahoma in Oklahoma City, and then they had to play Oklahoma again in the semifinals. But you know what? It didn't matter.
Dragon Slayers! Taking down Oklahoma, playing on their home field, not once.
It's not their home field.
Twice. It's not their home field?
I don't think so.
Don't correct me on that.
Norman. They're separate cities.
Oh, wait. Where do they play the game? Oh, because it's in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, that's not where the University of Oklahoma is, FYI.
All right, let me start that again.
Geography lesson. No, we keep that in. This is a geography lesson with the podcast.
The name of the city is right there, the name of the university.
I mean, it's true. It's indisputable.
How could they not play in Oklahoma City? Anyway, fine. Near their home field.
The University of Indiana is in Indianapolis, right?
Anyway.
University of Kansas in Kansas City. That also true.
God. Taking down Oklahoma twice with their fan base behind them near their home field. Thank you for pointing that out. UW in dramatic fashion. I mean, honestly, these games against Oklahoma weren't even close. And the three games that they won.
The first game against Oklahoma was pretty close.
Wait, was it?
Yeah. I mean, the Huskies. I mean, that catch by Tristan Melhart, like, saved the game, basically.
Huge weekend for Tristan's. Well, just one Tristan. I had a fine weekend.
I was gonna
My
say.
Weekend was nowhere near as big as Tristan Melhart's, with two game-saving catches over the weekend. One happening in, I think it was the bottom or the top of the sixth against Oklahoma in the clinching game, but sandwiched in between these two wins against Oklahoma was a win that was somehow even more sweet than these two.
Beating Oregon, yeah. I mean, as I tweeted from the Pelton Cast account, like, there's no bad way to get to the semifinals undefeated. But the very best way is to take down the number one seed rival, Oregon Ducks. Second consecutive year, the Huskies have beaten the Ducks in the Women's College World Series.
I mean, we were talking about the beginning of a streak similar to the streak that Oregon football had over UW.
I don't know if this is
going to be a decade plus of beating Oregon in the women's softball college world series.
I mean, I hope so. They did sweep the Huskies during the regular season.
Doesn't matter. All that matters is when it counts. And we heard going into this tournament, everything we heard about the Pac-12 was UCLA, Oregon. The Huskies couldn't do it. And who stands now in the final series? It's not Oregon. It's not UCLA, but one Pac-12 team remains.
Is it the Huskies?
Yes, it's them.
I mean, okay, so I think, you know, we talked about those Melhart catches. I think two things stand out from this weekend for the Huskies. Number one, of course, is how well the Huskies have played defensively. Their defense has been on point throughout the Women's College World Series, and that has been absolutely crucial, especially with Gabby Plain, because of the fact that she has a great tendency. She rarely strikes people out. She generates a lot of ground balls, and you got to be ready behind her, and the Husky defense has been up to that task.
Okay.
And then number two, I think, is the reemergence of Taryn Alvelo as a co-ace. If you look back at that stretch where the Huskies lost to Oregon, it was when Alvelo, I think, was dealing with some injury issues, kind of imploded a little bit. Now, Alvelo, you know, it was unclear coming into the postseason how effective she was going to be, but a great start against Alabama last weekend, shutting them out. A great start shutting out this high-powered Oklahoma offense. And now the Huskies go into this final series against Florida State with two pitchers who are both, first off, Gabby Plain, extremely well-rested, having not pitched since Friday, but two pitchers that they can feel comfortable with going into this final series.
So who do we expect to start in Game 1, which happens later today against Florida State?
I would definitely think Gabby Plain starts Game 1. I think the plan is probably that she starts 1 and 3. I mean, maybe you try to throw her all 3 days, but I think that Alvelo has pitched well enough that she's earned the chance to start one of these games.
And I mean, in softball, pitchers can pitch every single day, right?
Yes, because of the fact that the underhand motion is not as taxing on players' arms. And then the other unique feature, if you're just getting into softball with UW's run here, is the fact that you're allowed to re-enter the game as a pitcher. So basically you'll go back and forth often between your two ace pitchers.
Interesting.
And so the Huskies will have, I mean, I think one of the decided advantages, so I mentioned this earlier, that how unusual it is for teams that lose in the first day to get back to the semifinals because of the fact that you have to win twice on Saturday to do this. And then you earn the chance to play on Sunday, where you again have to win twice to actually get to the Women's College World Series championship matchup. And lo and behold, that's what Florida State managed to do after losing their opener to UCLA, beat the Bruins twice on Sunday to knock the other Pac-12 team that had a chance to get to the finals out of it, and have won now 4 games in the last 2 days by a combined margin of 26-10. Over that period. Yeah. I mean, it's a fearsome offense that the Huskies are taking on. I mean, so was Oklahoma, and the Huskies managed to shut out the Sooners twice. So it's definitely something that's doable, but it's a challenge. But anyway, this is a thing that has not happened. They mentioned it on the broadcast. I couldn't find it online. I think 2010 was the last time a team got to the championship series after losing their opening game. But the result of this is a lot of fatigue, a lot of taxing effort for Florida State's pitchers. Megan King has sort of emerged as their primary pitcher. She pitched 7 2/3 innings on Saturday in their 2 games, 8 innings on Sunday. Kylie Hansen, who's their number 2 pitcher, threw 6 1/3 innings on Saturday, 4 1/3 on Sunday, and they even, in a rarity in the Women's College World Series, turned to a third pitcher, Cassie Davis, who threw an inning and 2/3 on Sunday.
Okay, so they're coming in having played 5 games in 3 days, right?
No, because they get Friday off because of the fact that you lost on Thursday. It's 4 games in 2 days.
4 games in 2 days.
Played 1 game in that stretch.
Wow. And then, haven't they played 2? Didn't they play Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, No, the Huskies had Saturday off. It's because Saturday is when the losers play.
So the Huskies very well rested, especially on the pitching staff. But then Florida State needs to come back and play again today. I mean, there's no week off here. They are back at it right away.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I mean, I think that's part of the reason that, I mean, the other aspect of it, of course, is if you lose on the first day, odds are you probably weren't as good as the team you were facing, even though, you know, in this case, they were able to beat UCLA a couple of times. But the fatigue element also a reason why, historically, teams that lose on the first day have had such a tough time in the Women's College World Series.
Okay, so what was Florida State's profile going into the World Series?
Again, high-scoring team, and we've seen that. I mean, They've scored, they've averaged 6 runs per game in the Women's College World Series. The Huskies have only averaged, you know, a little less than 4 runs per game, 3.7 per game so far in their 3 games, but they've only allowed 2 runs total in the Women's College World Series, whereas, you know, Florida State is giving up an average of 3.4 runs per game. So that's
interesting.
You know, it's great pitching versus great hitting.
Strength against strength in the World Series. Were they ranked higher than you would consider UW? Or,
I mean, they came in as the 6th seed, so the Huskies were the 5th seed. And I think one of the interesting things about what we've seen so far in the Women's College World Series is, you know, we know from following it all season on the Pelton Cast that the Huskies were ranked number one for most of the year until they kind of imploded against Oregon. And I think what we've seen is that number one team is back now that Terran Alvelo is pitching at a high level again.
Wow. So you're talking about a team in the Huskies with the pedigree to do it, being number one almost the entire season, a little bit of slip at the end. But now, after 3 consecutive wins in the World Series, look like the favorites again. And they're playing a team that this isn't the top dog at the World Series, right? This isn't the number one seed. They're playing the 6th seeded Florida State, who come in a little bit more of a home field advantage because we're a lot closer in Oklahoma than we are because Tallahassee is a lot closer to Oklahoma than Seattle is. But you're talking about a team that is
a lot closer.
You don't think it's a lot? You should do the math.
I mean, it's definitely
like, I know Texas is part of the Midwest, but Tallahassee is a lot closer to Oklahoma than Seattle is.
I mean, it's definitely closer. I don't think I don't think it's nothing anything that at this point is worth noting. I guess I would say that okay. amount, especially after you've already been there for 4 days or however long the teams have been there at this point.
But with that, plus the fatigue factor, plus the Huskies being so well rested, I mean, we would like to think that the Huskies pitching staff will be able to slow down Florida State at the very least in this one, but maybe an opportunity for the Huskies to score some runs also.
Yeah, I think so. Again, the Florida State pitching and defense has not been as dominant. You look at their 2 starters, neither of them had as good an ERA as the 2 Husky starters. Even Alvelo, with the midseason slump she had, still a better ERA than either of Florida State starters, at 1.1 for her, 1.22 for Megan King, and 1.33 for Kylie Hansen. Hansen's been a little bit harder to hit this season. She's given up a 156 opponent batting average, but is more vulnerable to home runs, having given up 14 of them. King has given up just 5 home runs in 184 innings this season.
Anything else on Florida State?
All right, well, let's talk about the hitters to watch for them.
Okay.
Their best player by far is their leadoff hitter and third baseman, Jesse Warren, who, after homering yesterday, I think maybe in both games, now has 82 career home runs, tied for 9th in NCAA softball history, Division I softball history. She is hitting nearly .400 with 20 homers and an .800+ slugging percentage this season. And then you've got behind her in the order, first baseman Carson Gordon, and then second baseman Sydney Sherrill, who both have 12 home runs this season and are also hitting over .300. And that's really, you know, the top 3 hitters in their lineup. It's interesting. This is an observation I hadn't realized until this year. Softball, like, they're hewing much more to what the analytics say in baseball, that you just put all your best hitters at the top of the order.
Yes.
Get them as many at-bats as possible. But if you can get through those top 3, a little bit safer down lower in the lineup.
And then what about for the Huskies, if this is kind of one of your first times paying attention to Husky softball? Who are some of the hitters to watch on the dogs?
Well, Taylor Van Zee, I think, you know, is their best hitter in terms of average, and she's been excellent in the Women's College World Series. I'd say that the surprise of the Women's College World Series so far has been their designated player, freshman Noelle Hee, who has come through with crucial hits, started the inning where they batted around against Oregon on Friday and really broke that game open. She's been terrific. And then Julia DuPont is their best power hitter. Had a home run yesterday against Oklahoma to help put that game out of the reach, and went 3 for 3 in that game.
All right, any other thoughts on the series?
I'm excited to see it. I mean, again, I think the Huskies are the favorites, but, you know, not overwhelmingly so. And anything can happen in a best-of-3 series like this. So,
yes. Can you walk us through the schedule really quick?
I can, yeah. So it'll be back-to-back days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, a different start time on each of those games, though. Today, 4 p.m. Pacific time for Game 1 of the series. On Tuesday, Game 2 will be at 5 p.m. Pacific, and then Game 3, if necessary, on Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific.
Okay. They just get slightly later.
Yes. yeah, and all three of those matchups will be on ESPN. So a great opportunity to watch the UW softball go for a national championship.
All right. Oh, man, I'm stoked. I am so excited. Having both a week off work to be able to pay attention to these games and just focus on the softball World Series, cannot wait. I also thought it was funny when they advanced to the series final yesterday, the announcer was like, for the first time since 2009 or whatever. Maybe it was 2011. It's like, really, they've been there very recently.
Yeah, it's not actually that long of a period of time. That's definitely fair.
And I think in the interim, just Oklahoma and Florida played each other over and over and over again.
I don't know if that checks out. By the way, I may have to concede to you on the distance between Tallahassee and Oklahoma being significantly less than.
You'll never give up on Texas not being in the Midwest, though.
Oh, it's absolutely part of the Texas. I mean, neither of them are close, but it is about twice as far.
Yeah, I'm aware of distances. well, I'm so ready for the series. Can't wait. And with a very good chance of UW softball bringing home another national championship right before our eyes.
I mean, it was a great weekend for UW sports in general.
Yeah, I also wanted to mention the UW baseball team going into what is apparently in South Carolina, Coastal Carolina University, the Chanticleers, going into the host region Chanticleers and coming out also with out giving up a loss 3 in a row for UW baseball to advance out of that region, including in dramatic fashion, making up for Rip Hamilton, making up for who's the person who hit the 3 against the Huskies to send it to overtime in 2006.
Was it Denham Brown?
I think it might have been Denham Brown.
He was the one the Sonics drafted that year.
Oh, great. Making up for Rip Hamilton, making up for Denham Brown, making up for Mike Jensen's boneheaded errors. The Dogs go into South Carolina and beat UConn twice in this situation, the other Huskies, and they will advance to the first ever, you have to tell me what this thing is called because I have no idea.
The Super Regional.
The Super Regional, basically the Sweet 16 of college baseball, right?
We talked about the women's college, the softball Super Regional just last week. That's happened. You tried to go to it, remember?
Oh, that was the Super Regional.
Yes.
And that's what they've advanced to now.
That is what they have advanced to now. They're let's see, I guess 2 weeks behind in terms of the schedule. And then also UW Rowing winning the 10 Ike Trophy. I assume that's how that's pronounced. For the 11th time in the last 12 years.
Is that the national championship of rowing?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Conference of Champions.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk. We don't have to talk a little bit more about UW baseball. Maybe we will on the regularly scheduled pod later this week, but I want to talk UW baseball. I'm so ready.
Yeah, we have some time to preview that one because that action won't kick off until Friday, right?
Sure.
You can see our research for this has been impeccable.
These are the types of things that you know that I don't know.
I haven't had time to do all the research that goes into the regularly scheduled podcast. Yes, that matchup will start Friday in Fuller.
I was going to say, we're going to crunch the numbers. We're going to look it all up, and we will find out if that starts on Friday.
That's our Pelton Cast guarantee to you, the listener. But we have some time for that. There is no time. There's still some time. There's as we record this, about 6 hours until the Women's College World Series Championship starts. And can't wait.
Can't wait. Go Dogs.
On that note, thanks for listening.
Thanks.